Greetings, everyone out there in listener land. It is time for our regular check-in on the week's news of note from North Shore freelance journalist Kitty Mayo, writing for the North Shore Journal. How are you today, Kitty?
Good morning, Leo. I'm well.
Well, filling in for Tom Kohler as I am, Kitty, hopefully our audience will forgive me for beginning with a little bit of factual and editorial comment. Kitty, over the past month, it turns out that the U.S. death toll from the COVID-19 pandemic exceeded the number of military deaths that we saw in the nation's bloodiest conflict, the Civil War, in only a 21-month period. And, you know, in our area, in our state, we're in the crosshairs right now of the ongoing Delta surge of COVID. While our hospitals seem to be scrambling to prioritize care, there's still debate, a lot of it from a minority segment of the citizenry who are wondering whether anybody should be required to do anything personally or collectively to help slow the spread of COVID. And it seems that a lot of us have gone a little quiet and become reluctant to demand more appropriate actions from government, schools, businesses, and our fellow citizens to stem the tide of the surge. So that verbose lead-in from me brings us to your lead story this week, Kitty.
Well, and completely appropriate. Thank you for that, Leo. The situation, specifically in Lake County and in Minnesota, is dire right now, and there's no sugarcoating that. The biggest issue at the fore is that because of the very high level of transmission rates in the region, and specifically in Lake County and all throughout Minnesota, hospitals are full. They're maxed out. When I look across, you know, it's the kind of thing I monitor all the time. I look across the region and across Minnesota, this is the worst I've seen it. So what that means is if you need a hospital for an emergency, COVID-related or not, you may not be able to get into a hospital. If you need a higher level of care for, let's say, an ICU or surgery or a specialist who can assess you in a very life-threatening circumstance, you might not get that. And that's really where we're at. That's because people who are not vaccinated, I'm going to put this very plainly, Leo, people who are not vaccinated are getting sick and ending up needing hospital care. Right now at Lakeview Hospital in Two Harbors, we have ICU patients who are very sick with COVID, who are on ventilators, who are having to be put in extra spaces that are not typically used for patients in any sort of an ongoing basis, certainly as an inpatient hospitalization. And this is not a hospital that has ICU department. What does that tell you? There's nowhere else for them to go. So it's a really, really bad situation. The cases of COVID doubled in the space from November 9th through November 15th, up to 63 cases documented in that time. A doubling of cases that is already at a very high rate. And bear in mind, we were at a high transmission rate already before that doubling, is a very concerning thing. So our resources are beyond max. I don't even know how to say if they're max. Officials, experts, scientists continue to tell us the very best thing that can happen to ameliorate the situation is for people to get vaccinated who aren't, for people to get boosters who have not had them. I understand that the booster uptake has been relatively low because it's been limited who's eligible. Hopefully we're going to see that change very soon, and a lot more people getting boosters already, and hopefully more people getting vaccinated for the first time, including children. And there will be another article that you can refer to, a local doctor, Dr. Tolga Hanhan, who I've talked to many times for the paper, gave me some more information about if you're thinking about getting your child vaccinated, maybe a little concerned about that. I thought it'd be helpful to talk to somebody locally who knows him and trusts his opinion on things. And that is all I have on COVID for now. You know, that's an understatement, Leo.
Indeed.
Topic,
Kitty, for the story this week, I suppose you must have spoken with CEO Greg Ruberg from Lakeview. Any concerns that...
I did indeed.
Yeah.
I will add, thank you for bringing that up. A really striking part of the conversation I had with Greg this week. Greg is the CEO, president at Lakeview Hospital and Clinic. And this is alarming, and it's alarming to Greg. Statewide conversations are happening about rationing care. And anytime you hear that, your ears should perk up. So that means if they don't have any extra ventilators at the hospital, including ours, which they don't, doctors there are going to have to make decisions about who gets it, and somebody might not who needs it. Or these are really difficult ethical medical decisions to make, and certainly something that people really grapple with and not something we ever want to hear. It's alarming, and that's exactly what Greg had to say.
And it just seems simply shocking and maybe almost like dissonant with the idea that we've had, you know, a pretty significant portion of the population receiving first, second, and now booster doses, and even now getting down to the pediatric level. But it really seems to all have to do with there still being human kindling for this virus to burn through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's...
Exactly. And we were hopeful early on that if we reach a certain level of immunization, 70, 75, and nobody knows what that number was, that we'd stop seeing this kind of surge in cases that challenged our healthcare facilities and our whole system. We don't know what that number is. We're not there yet. We don't have enough people vaccinated. If you look across the waters to places like the UK, Germany, Belgium, Netherlands, Denmark, places that have much higher vaccination rates than we do, significantly higher, they are still having bad surges with a major influx into their hospitals. So we're just not there yet. We need to get more vaccinations above and beyond where we're at, or we're going to keep seeing this kind of thing happening.
Indeed. So people will probably get a pretty good overview from your story. I was struck by one thing that I believe I just learned, that in a regional hospital not that far from us in Grand Rapids, apparently they're having their ambulance, their EMT crews, actually doing treatment of people with COVID symptoms at home, that they can't even think about transporting them to a hospital.
Shocking. Shocking. The call that went out on KAXE a couple of days ago was sent out by Grand Itasca Hospital saying, if you have COVID symptoms that need treatment by a doctor or a hospital, don't come to our ER. Call 911. We will send an ambulance to you. You will be treated at home. And that should blow people's minds. And we should understand that there is no possible way you could have an appropriate level of treatment in your home under those circumstances that you would necessarily require, not nearly the level of care that you would get in hospital.
Yes, I am truly thankful that there are people still delivering that level of critical care service, but to do it in a mobile fashion just reminds me of the earliest days when that kind of thing was happening in New York State, when no one knew what a COVID pandemic really looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, moving on to a longer-term emergency, the DFL in Lake County hosted a climate change forum this week, and you partook of you listened in.
I did. I attended. It was a hybrid meeting. There were a few people in person, and then several of us also on a video call, and I was able to listen to that and watch that. It was really interesting, and it exceeded my expectations. So you're right, Leo, climate change, top of the list for things that we should be attending to. Sometimes that's hard during a pandemic, but the Lake County DFL had surveyed some of their members recently and found that they wanted more climate change information. How can we affect this and impact this? And so they had invited in two people from the Citizens Climate Lobby, the Two Harbors Chapter, which is a pretty interesting organization. People should check that out. Tatya Gordon, Two Harbors resident and CCL member, as well as somebody who we hear on KTWH, gave a wonderful presentation. And Mike Overend was another presenter, and they had a really nice balance. One of the things that I marked in this article that was a thing for me to learn about was carbon pricing. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know how it worked. And I had no idea with Mike Overend's graphs and descriptions of how it works, how impactful this idea could really be. So that was exciting for me, a really positive thing to learn about.
So I'm kind of inferring here that not only was were the dimensions of the problem and the science that we know about all of the impacts that we're already feeling from climate change, but there was actually quite a hopeful message about the number of opportunities there are to deal with it. A lot of them are political,
yeah.
So of course political solutions are not happening very easily these days, but you got a picture of what a difference something like carbon pricing would make.
Well, the coolest part of that, as you mentioned, that Katja Gordon talked about, is that this is a tend to be a bipartisan supported approach because it's a market-based solution, not a tax, not a regulation. They believe that they talk about political will a great deal, that we have the knowledge, we have the research, we have the understanding, we know what we can do, but we need to have a governmental approach to this to make it a widespread thing that turns into a solution. And so that was really exciting to me to hear that there's a possibility that this could move forward in a bipartisan way and actually happen.
Yeah. Well, if it's government by the people and for the people, it sounds like the people may have to make some noise.
Right on.
There we go. And we have a story as well this week about a very interesting event slated for our beloved tug, the Edna G, happening during this holiday season.
Yeah, this was like a ton of fun. So the Friends of the Edna G had invited members of the press to a pre-Christmas tea to sort of show what it is that they're proposing that people sign up for, an event that they have coming up over several weeks during the end of November and into December as well. So I got to go down to the tug and have tea in the mess. And I brought my daughter with because she and I previously had both worked for the Historical Society back when the Historical Society participated in giving tours on the tug. So it was very fun for us to sit down and have a cup of tea and some cookies and small sandwiches and hear about what their plans are for that. So people can read more about that in the article, too.
And was the boat decked out for the holidays?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there's a little Christmas tree in the mess with lights, and the portholes were had little wreaths in them.
Phenomenal.
And the exterior of the boat had Christmas lights. It was adorable. It's adorable. You gotta go.
Wow. And there's also news this week in the paper about a new veterans memorial proposed for Lake County. This is the first I'm hearing of this. Can you fill us in, Kitty?
Yeah, so I got to talk to Chris Belfield, another individual associated with KCWH, and Chris has great connections all throughout the county as a member of the American Legion here in town. He and several other people have spearheaded the beginning of a nonprofit that they are have organized to create a new memorial for veterans in Lake County, and they have already figured a bunch of stuff out. Like some of us know, there is a memorial to Lake County veterans down by the Lake Walk.
Yes.
Kind of small, kind of hidden, kind of off the beaten. I mean, it's on a path, but most people wouldn't know it's there. And so they're looking to do something bigger that really gives recognition to all veterans of Lake County, of which we have a considerable number. And they're just beginning this process and putting the call out, asking other people to join them, to join their board, to be part of the process in applying for grants. They're not asking for any money from taxpayers from Lake County proper. They do have the support of the Lake County Board of Commissioners, and they have some thoughts and ideas, but it's just the very beginning, and they'd like to see some more people get in on the ground floor.
So the concept is there, and now they're trying to connect the people that can follow this idea through to the reality. So we'll look forward to hearing more updates on that, Kitty. That, those are the stories that I'm aware of. Are there anything else that's coming up this week that we should keep an eye out for?
Well, I always like to say there's more to this story, Leo, but we'll save it for next week.
Well, with Thanksgiving upon us and me being a rare substitute for Tom, I'd like to thank you, Kitty, for all the work you do filling in our listeners and, of course, the readers to the North Shore Journal every week.
Thanks, Leo.
You take care. That's Kitty Mayo, freelance writer with the North Shore Journal, and you're listening to KTWH.